Jermaine Franklin from TSN joins us. Jermaine, first of all, what do you think of Wiggins' duds for tonight?
I don't know if you can actually look bad on a night like tonight. But, yeah, you'll be looking sharp for sure.
When, from all the people I know, you talked to Wiggins a lot this season. A lot of prognostications think, you know what, he's the most talented guy in the draft and will be the best player in the future, but maybe not the most NBA ready right now today due to strength. What do you think?
I totally agree with it. I mean, he's I believe it's 6'8", and he's just 200 pounds.
Yep.
He's got a lot of growing to do in terms of putting on weight and muscle. And when it comes to the NBA and you're playing against men, and if you're going to be the player that Wiggins expects to be, which means he'll be driving into that lane a lot amongst the big oaks of the NBA, he's going to have to be able to take a pounding. And I'm not sure if he'll be able to do that right away in his first year. And if he does, hopefully he stays healthy. But he may have to shy away from it a little bit until he can handle the pounding of the NBA.
Well, Jermaine, some people kind of raise an eyebrow when you talk about the pounding of NBA, but if you've ever been courtside at a game, you know how physical it can be, and that's what sticks out to me about Wiggins. 6'8", 200. You look at Jabari Parker among the other forwards, 6'8", 235. 35 pounds is a big difference, and some of the other kids rated up there. You can't play your game if you're constantly outsized and out-muscled, can you?
No, you can easily be, I guess, basically taken off your game. When you're, and it does depend a little bit on the officiating, but players are allowed to be physical with each other. And when you're being outweighed and outmuscled, I think that's the first thing that Wiggins is going to learn. And maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise because all of a sudden his jump shot will be mandatory and he'll get that going, which will force him to be an even bigger threat because people have to play him more on the perimeter and then he can drive the lane. Mm-hmm. But until that happens, I think he's going to have his work cut out for him. And the good thing is it is a matter of growth. And if you look at his dad, he was an NBA player, you know that the size is going to come, which is why he is such a good potential number one pick. Jabari Parker is more NBA ready now. There's no question. He's a better scorer. He can handle the pounding. But when it comes right down to it, the ceiling is a little bit lower for Jabari Parker than an Andrew Wiggins, who can take over a game both on the offensive and defensive end because of his athleticism. And it's amazing just seeing Wiggins play live. His second jump is incredible. If he goes up for a layup and somehow he misses it, he's the first one back up and tipping it in, and nobody's quicker than him right now, and that's pretty special.
Jermaine Franklin joins us from TSN talking NBA draft, which gets going in about 45 minutes time right on TSN, so you can watch that live or listen to it. We'll have you the updates. What do you think about Joel, obviously the injury to his foot is going to impact his draft status, but the way the game is played now, Jermaine, do you think, you know, I know he's a big athletic guy, but we're not seeing those guys really make impacts anymore unless they play the forward position rather than center.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Jay, because I think it's a bit of a bunch of hype when they talk about you can't teach size, you can't teach size, and that's true, but size doesn't seem to be that much of a big deal in the NBA these days. I mean, if you think about the number one centers in the NBA, I can really only think about one, and that's Dwight Howard. And he hasn't won a title yet, and teams certainly didn't seem to have too much trouble with the Rockets when it really counted in the playoffs. Portland just blew them out of the water. So when you talk about all-star centers in the NBA, there's basically one, maybe two. And even Roy Hibbert, you think about him with the Pacers, and he had a meltdown. But even at his best last season, there was an answer for Roy Hibbert. So I'm not that big on centers being game changers necessarily. Joel Embiid might be that guy, but he's still young. He hasn't played a lot of basketball, and that's what scares me as well if I'm an NBA executive. This guy was found, and he didn't play a ton of basketball. He was more of a volleyball player. He didn't make it through an entire NCAA season. His freshman season, he got injured. He had the stress fracture in his back. Now he has a fracture in his foot, suffered during workouts. What's going to happen? We were just talking about the NBA pounding. What's going to happen when he has to play 82 games, back-to-back nights, travel in between? And I know these guys get pampered as much as you can, but there's still a physical pounding on the body, and whether he can handle a full NBA season would be scary for me. Two names come to mind. Greg Oden,
yep.
He never made it.
Yep.
And Yao Ming had a fantastic career, but after a few years, his knees completely went, and he just couldn't handle it. But he was a little bigger than Embiid, admittedly, at 7'5".
Well, you're right, Jermaine, but I always suspected that Greg Oden was 47 when he was drafted. That was the joke. You remember the jokes at the time. He wasn't a young-looking man. But anyway, you know what? They have gone away from the big man in most markets and the game in general. Let's go to the other part of the floor, backcourt players, whether you're talking the point or the off guard. Who there just absolutely knocks your socks off? Like, is there a franchise guy there compared to just a real good player?
Well, I'll stick with the excitement of a couple of Canadians that could go in the first round or should go in the first round in Nick Stauskas. I was a little surprised that he's projected to go as high as 10th overall, which is fantastic, and that just shows the growth that he's had in his game. He may be, and many believe that he is the best pure shooter in the draft, and he can hit it from anywhere, from almost any distance. And it's kind of cool that a Canadian kid is considered the best pure shooter in the draft. What Stauskas did this year, though, that really upped his ante is he worked on his dribbling game, on his ball handling skills, and he showed that he wasn't just a one-trick pony. He wasn't just a spot-up shooter. He could drive the lane, create his own offense. Now, given he's been able to create his own offense in the NCAA game, when it comes to the NBA game, I'm sure he'll have a lot more work to do, but the fact that the potential is there and he's a good size is pretty exciting. And, of course, Tyler Ennis, he just has ice in his veins. And when you're a big-time player or a big-game player, executives love that as well.
Frank, Jermaine, I appreciate it, my man. Enjoy the draft tonight. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.